Okay, I'd like to dedicate this to Ilanishmach. My father was sold off and sold off the claim. Okay, the title is Haggadah Insights Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. And I don't know if this happens to you at home, but in many Siddurim, what we tend to find is that towards the beginning of the Seder, there's Manishtano, there's Avodim Hayinu, we have Holach Mo'anya, we've got the four sons, and there is so much to speak about, and everybody gets so animated, and everybody is so excited, and each one of the children has another insight on why we should be Hakeh Shino to the Rosho, and each one of the children has insights on the early section of the Haggadah. And then we come to the Pesukim. And the Pesukim, often people tend to recite the Pesukim at an Olympic pace, a very high number of words per minute, and often these Pesukim really don't get justice done to them. In order to try and understand what's going on, there's just loads of Pesukim and loads of a commentary on these Pesukim. What's exactly the structure of that? And then I'd like to focus in, to hone in on one point. So really there are four parts to these Pesukim, and that's the way the structure goes. Between Seol Amad and the Makkah, we've got four parts, four themes. The first one is how we ended up in Mitzrayim, the Hishtalshuvus HaDvarim, how we all ended up in Mitzrayim. Then the second theme is what it was like there, how difficult, how bitter it was, how we grew, what the Mitzrayim did to us. Then we've got Vayitzaku Hashem, how we cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how difficult it was, how we dove into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and finally the fourth part is how Hashem saved us. And these are the four themes, these are the four sections of this body of Pesukim. So the bit that I'd like to look at, if you just have a look on the second side of your sheet, the side which says Yenis and Ben Azil at the top, we have a quote here from part two, from section two out of these four themes. Section two, he said, is what it was like in Mitzrayim. And we have Varov. Varov, they were numerous. Kamosha Ne'emar, as it says in Yechezkel. Revovo ketzemach atzodin esatich. Vatirbi, vatigtili, vatovoi v'ad v'adoyim, shodayim nochoinu, s'orech tzemeach, v'ereim v'erio. I made you as numerous as the plants of the field. You grew and developed and became charming, beautiful, and figure. Your hair grown long, but you were naked and bare. So we have a guf of Klal Yisrael. We have the body of Klal Yisrael, and the body is beautifully formed. We were so numerous. However, we were Eirim Ve'eriot, we were naked and bare. Physically, we were great, but spiritually, we were empty. We were naked over here. We didn't have any zechuyos. We had no merits. And the posuk in Yechezkel continues, Vo'er alayich, vo'erich mispoiseses b'domoyich. And I passed over you, and I saw you downtrodden in your blood. And this is repeated in Yechezkel. And I said to you, through your blood shall you live. And I said to you, through your blood shall you live. So this is what is said over here. A big body, but no ruach. There was no content. And this was the issue which the Rebbeinu Shlomo Kavyoch was faced with. So this is something which we should recognize from Rashi, if we turn the sheets over, from Rashi in Parshas Bo. And Rashi in Parshas Bo really fills us in with a number of details. What exactly is going on in this section in the Haggadah? What does it mean why we have this repetition of B'domai Chai, B'domai Chai? What is going on over here? So if we look in this bottom section where I've quoted Rashi, V'hoi Olochem L'mishmores. This is from Shmois, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, where it says after they should take this sheep or this goat in order to use for their korban Pesach. So it says in Pasuk Vav, "V'hoi alachem lemishmeres ad arba ofayim lachodesh hazeh," and it shall be yours for examination until the 14th day of the month. B'shachzor say kol karabat Yisrael bein harabayim, and the entire congregation of the assembly of Yisrael shall slaughter it in the afternoon. So Rashi's bothered. What does it mean lemishmeres? What does it mean that it should be there for examination? What's the exact shmira that's going on over here? So Rashi says in this bottom section as follows: V'hoi alachem lemishmeres zehu loshen bikur. This is an expression of keeping it to examine it. She'eton bikur mimum arba yomim kodem shchito. Because a carbon, normally one has to look at it. One has to ensure during the 4 days prior to the shechita that it doesn't develop any blemishes in order to be shechted. So asks Rashi Akasha, why is it that they needed to take it 4 days in advance in Mitzrayim, but never again? So he continues, why was it that they had to take it 4 days before they were going to shechit? They could have just bought an animal which somebody had looked after for 4 days, or one that they knew didn't have any blemishes, that someone else had checked it. Why was it that they positively, actively, had to ensure themselves personally that this animal had no mum? So mashalot tivokim v'pesach tayrus, which is unprecedented, we don't find in any other generation. Hoyer of Masya ben Cheresh Omer, but Masya ben Cheresh said, Harehu Omer, and then he quotes this pasuk which we just saw in the Haggadah from Yechezkel Tech Zayin. Ve'ever olayach ve'erech b'hinei itech eistoidim. This is the pasuk in full. And I passed over you, and I saw, and behold, now is a time of great love. So Rashi explains, Higiyosh shavuosh nishpati la'azom. The time had arrived for the fulfillment of the oath which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made to Avram, she'egoyel es bonov, that I will redeem his sons. Ve'lo hoyu b'yodo mitzvahs, this asik b'hem, kadei she'yoga'elu. But they didn't have any mitzvahs to be involved in order that they should merit being redeemed. She'nema, as it says, ba'at eirim ve'erio, as you are naked and bare. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two mitzvahs. Ve'nosam lehem shtei mitzvahs. He gave to them two mitzvahs. Dam Pesach ve'dam Milo. The blood of the Pesach and the dam of the Milah. Dam, blood, is always associated with vitality. This is what brings the oxygen and the nutrients around our body. So two types of dam, dam Pesach and dam Milah. Shemolu ba'osei halaylo. Rashi says that they circumcised on that night. Right? Imagine the Bnei Yisrael all having had Bris Milah on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This, Rashi tells us, this was the night they all had Bris Milah. Shenem, as it said, mispoises es bedomoyich. You were wallowing, downtrodden in your blood. This was the sort of blood that we're talking about. Bishnei domim, says Rashi, two types of blood. For Omer, gam at v'dam bereseich shelachti asirayich b'boyer in mayim boy. The pasuk from Zechariah Tess, where it says also v'dam bereseich, through the blood of your circumcision, I sent out the captives from the pit in which there was no water, a reference to the spiritual depravity of Egypt. And because they were really involved in idol worship, so Hashem said, yes, you should draw out and take for yourself, draw your hands away from your idol worship, and take for yourself this tzayin of this Pesach commandment. So Rashi says that over here they needed zechuyos. So Hashem had to give them special zechuyos. They had to take the sheep early, they had to look after it, they had to be involved in it. And as well as that, they had the dam of Milah. So on this Rashi, I'd like to ask three questions. Two of them are technical questions, and one of them, I believe, for Ezra Hashem, is an incredibly sadistic question, which hopefully will give us a completely different Seder night this year to any Seder night that we've ever had before. That's what Be'ez Hashem. So let's see. What are the questions? Okay. So the first obvious question is, why wait to do Bris Milah until now? Why didn't they do Bris Milah earlier? You know, we always, I don't know about you, unfortunately, I often tend to leave things for the last minute. And there's such stress. And there's such pressure if you leave things to the last minute. You could have done it earlier. It would take the same time, but without the stress and pressure. And instead, for some reason, something I have to work on, sometimes things tend to get left to the very last minute. Now here, they were in Mitzrayim for such a long time already. And the whole process of the Makkah had taken place over the course of a whole year, Shana Shlemo. So why did they have to leave it for the last minute to do Bris Milah? Couldn't they have done it a short while beforehand? Why was it that on that night, the Poshup Shat and Rashi is that on that night they had Bris Milah? The Amar Farshim, the Dasa Kenan Bali, Atesvus, and others that actually say no, they had Bris Milah. When it says Shemonu Ba'isei Lailo, it means that they actually did Bris Milah on the night of the 10th, which was the same night that they took the Tzoyin. But Pashtus in Rashi is not like that. Pashtus in Rashi is that they did Bris Mila on that night. So why was it that they waited to the last minute? The second question, another technical question, is that really the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, Ayin Beis on a base, we're not supposed to do Bris Mila at night. Bris Mila is normally supposed to be done during the daytime. And then the third question, which is a very sophisticated question, is what's so special about these two mitzvahs? Why was it that Daska these two mitzvahs were the mitzvahs that were needed to give us zechuyos? Why not one mitzvah? Why not three mitzvahs? Why two mitzvahs? And why Daska these two mitzvahs? So this is what hopefully we'll be able to discover about Ezra Hashem. Okay, the first question, why didn't they do Bris Mila beforehand? We can find an answer in the Medrash in Shmos Rabo. Perek Yotzef Pasuk Vav, I haven't photocopied that. And the Medrash says that really, in fact, the whole way through the Shibud, B'nai Levi had always done Bris Mila. There were always some people that held strong to the Mesorah that they had from Avraham Avinu. So B'nai Levi were always included. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu blesses Shevet Levi in Sefer Devarim, it says, and they guarded the bris. They guarded that when Moshe said, Mil Hashem Elai, that Amiro, so they came to the fore, they pulled through the goods, and also bris chayin soru, they always kept bris mila. The rest of Bani Yisrael, unfortunately, had sunk to such a low level that bris mila was all but forgotten amongst the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash says over there, and this Medrash is brought, for those of you that have the Yalkut Lekach Tzoyf HaGodo, this Medrash is brought over here, Varov, at this point in the HaGodo. And the Medrash says an amazing thing. The Medrash says Moshe had actually asked them to do Bris Mila beforehand. But Klal Yisrael had sunk so low that they said no. They didn't even want to do Bris Mila after being told to do so by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it came to the night of Korban Pesach. And the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a ruach come out of Gan Eden, and the smell of this roast lamb, the smell was just so supernaturally incredible that Klal Yisrael, they saw this, they felt there was something special about it. Mistom was something much deeper as well. It wasn't just the smell of a barbecue, but they sensed there was something cataclysmic about this event, about this evening, about this Korban Pesach. And therefore, on that night, the last minute, they all ran to Moshe and they said, yes, we want to do Bris Mila. And so it was on this night that there was the culmination of the Bris Mila. There were some that had done it beforehand, but the bulk of Klal Yisrael, they actually all wanted to have Bris Mila on that night. So, okay, this is a technical thing. We see when it comes, when push comes to shove, at the final moment, a mass revolution of Teshuvah in Mitzrayim. Okay, the next thing, how could they do Bris Mila at night? So I've seen two answers to this. The Kli Chemda in Parshas Lech Lecha brings an interesting approach, and it says the reason that the Gemara in Yevamos says that Bris Mila had to be done during the daytime is because it says Uvayim Hashmini on the eighth day. So Chazal say, the Chomim say over there in Yevamos, by day and not by night. But this pasuk was only recorded in the Parshas Tazria, which was said after Matan Torah, but before Matan Torah, so they could do Bris Mila at night as well. So that's why they were able to do Bris Mila at night. I saw another chat, which the Chidor says in his Sefer Simchas Regel, and he says a phenomenal answer. He says that the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kuf Lamates, Pasuk Yud Beis, Laila Tayom Yoiru. Laila Tayom Yoir. That night had a din of a day. The Vilna Gaon says in his commentary on Manishtana, Manishtana Halaila Hazois, it should say. Laila is feminine, we say Leilois. Yeah? Yoim, Yomim, Yoim is masculine, Laila is feminine. So we should say Manishtana Halaila Hazois. So he says, but no, because this night had the bechina of a zochar. He says all of the mitzvahs are normally done during the day. Just like noshim are peturais mi mitzvahs, and zochar men achayovim in mitzvahs. So all of the mitzvahs are normally almost always associated with the day. Shofar is by day, lulav is by day, talis, tefillin, all of these things are by day. This was the one exception. But the night turned into the day. There was such a gilui shechina on this original Seidonites. Such a Gilui Shechinah that it was, there was clarity, just like the Yom. So therefore, the halachas of the Yom applied, and they were able to do Bris Milah at night. That's the answer of the Chidor. Yeah? So fine. So now we can understand why they did Bris Milah at night. But now the third question, which is what's so special about these two mitzvahs? Now, I hope you haven't had your breakfast yet, because we're going to look at a Targum Yonasan Ben Azil, which will be quite a shock to those people who don't know it. So if we turn over the page, Targum Yonasan Ben Azil at the top is commenting on Pasuk Yud Gimel. And there, the Torah tells us, V'hoyah Adam lochem lo'eis al abotim ashatem shom, v'ris yes hadom u'pustati aleichem. Right, but this dam should be as an ois on the houses. Right, lo'eis is spelled chos avov lamet al tof. And the dam, it's mentioned the word dam twice, the dam should be as a sign on the houses, and I'll see the dam u'pustati aleichem. Look at this Targum Yonasan Ben Azil. Targum Yonasan Ben Azil, of course, was the first commentary on the Torah. He was a Tana, he was the Talmud of Hillel. And this was about 50 years or so it is about 50 years or so before Unculus. So the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil says as follows. It's also in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Kaf Ches, Pasuk Aleph. And the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil says as follows. V'hi dam nechsas pischa u'gezeiras mahulto, the dam of the Korban Pesach and the Bris Mila ma'arav l'choyin. They were mixed together. To make the sign on the houses, the Atan Shari and Tamon that you were dwelling within, that we were dwelling within, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see the zuchus, the merit of these bloods, and have mercy upon us, and the Malach HaMoves won't have any control over us. Because he has Rishus to kill other people, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is killing the firstborn in the land of Egypt. So the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil says an unbelievable thing, that the blood on the doorpost wasn't just the dam of the Korban Pesach, which seems to be indicated by the normal reading of the Pasuk, possibly because it says the word dam twice. Maybe that's where he sees an allusion to the fact that there were two types of dam that were together on the doorpost. Imagine, maybe don't imagine, yeah, that here they had they did the shechita of the Korban Pesach, and there was some Olympic moel over there that the Midrash actually says Moshe was the moel, right? Unbelievable. On that night to maul so many people, there are those that say this was a tremendous nace that he was able to maul so many people on that night. So he had all of the bloods, and they smeared a bit in this blood, a bit in that blood, they were on the arm of them, and they put this on the doorposts. Yeah? I'm not sure if this part you have to say it Seidonite. Yeah? But this is what they did. What on earth is going on over? What a bizarre ritual. What's going on? Why was it that this is what they were supposed to be doing over here? What's going on? So in order to explain this, I'd like to introduce a Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos, Daf Peites on the base. And the Gemara says as follows. This is in the bottom right hand corner of your photocopy. Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Of Shmuel bar Nachmeni said, Om Rav Yonasan, in the name of Rav Yonasan. My dich says, what's going on in the Pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Gimel? Where it says, Ki ato avinu, because you are our father. Ki Avram le yodanu, Avram didn't know us. Ki Yisrael le yakirenu, and Yisrael doesn't recognize us. Ato Hashem. You are Hashem Avinu, our Father, Ge'aleinu, our Savior, Me'olam Shemecho. Forever is your name. So the Gemara comments as follows. L'osid lovi in the future, Yoyim ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram. Hashem will say to Avram, Bo'necho chotuli, your sons have sinned to me. Omar lefonov, Rabbeinu Shalom, Yimocho HaKadosh Shemecho. Avram Avinu, very, very difficult Gemara to understand. He says, you're right. You're right, the whole reason you created the world was so that they should be Marbek Beit Shemayin. If they're sinning, then they should be eradicated. Al Kedushat Shemecho. Omar, so Hashem says, Eimalei Liyako, Yudavalei Tzar Gidol Bonim. You know what? Avraham hasn't really helped me over here to exonerate Klal Yisrael from all of their Averis. I'll ask Yaakov. Yaakov knows what it's like to have a difficult, to have a, he had Tzar Gidol Bonim. Maybe he will ask for Rachamim. upon his descendants. So Omar Lei, Bonachotu, Hashem says to Yaakov, your sons have sinned. Omar Lefonov, Rabbeinu Shleilom, Yemocha Kedusha Shemecha. Yaakov says exactly the same thing over here. He also says, you're right, they've sinned, they have no merit to existence, to exist. So Hashem says, Omar, Le Basabi Tamo, the Zeda doesn't have a good reason to help me over here. And the young one, Yaakov, also doesn't really give me some good advice to exonerate Klal Yisrael. Omar Lo Yitzchok. So Hashem says to Yitzchok, and this really will save Klal Yisrael. Bonecha Chotuli, your sons have sinned to me. Omar Lefonav, Rebbeinu Shleilom, Bonai Balei Bonecha. You're saying they're my sons, they're not your sons? V'shashek Dimu Lefonecha Naseh L'Nishma. At the time when they preceded Naseh L'Nishma, Karoso Lahem, you call them B'ni B'chayri, my son, my firstborn. Achshov Bonai Balei Bonecha. And now you say, they're not my sons, they're your sons. That's not fair. V'oiz, and furthermore, kamachotu, how much are they sinning already? Kamach meisav shalodom, how long does a person live for? Shivim shono, 70 years. Tal esrin, seleonashto alayhu. Take away 20, a beis din can't punish anyone until they're 20 years old. So, for 20, they've got on credit. Parshin l'chamshin, they're only 50 years left already in a person's life. Tal kafei delei luso. So take away 25 at night time when there's not too much activity going on. Poshduch kafei. You've only got 25 years left. Dal tazi through your palgi. So split this in half. Take 12 and a half of these years. The tzuluyi, where they're davening. Or meichal, and they're eating. Or the beis hakisei, and when they're in the beis hakisei, in the toilet. Poshlu tazi through your palgi. All that's left is 12 years already that they might have been doing aveiros. Rabbeinu Shleilom. Im ato sevel at kulam mutov. If you want to bear the burden of all of these, gazim tahayt. Vem lav, and if not, says Yitzchok Avinu, Palga olai, upalga olecho. I'll take half, and you take half. Very, very difficult Gemara to understand. How can Yitzchok attempt to exonerate Klal Yisrael by saying, Rabbeinu Shleilom, let's just split the Averus. We'll split Klal Yisrael's Averus. What's going on over here? So, in the Yaris Tavash, it's in his first Maima over there, and also in the Pachav Yitzchok of Yitzchok Kutna, in Purim, in Perik Ches. So, he elaborates on this Gemara by bringing the words of Rav Yitzchok Blazer. So the Yaris Tavash just says it off his own steam, and the Pachav Yitzchok, he quotes Rav Yitzchok Blazer. And Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer, the disciple of Yisrael Salanta, he explains this Gemara as follows. And in order to do that, he uses the Gemara which I've quoted on the left from Brachos Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. For Rav Alexandri, Bosa Damatli Omar Hochi. Rav Alexandri after he davened would express as follows: Ribbono Ilomim, Master of the World, Goliv Yadul Afanecho. It is known and revealed in front of you. Should say, Meinu Laf Is Ritzenecho, that our will is really to do your will. So then what prevents us? Sa'ur Shabi'isa, the Shivud Malchus. The yeast in the dough, which Rashi explains is the Yetzirah that makes us into Chomet. That this is the Yetzirah from within. The Shivud Malchus and the nations of the world who try and influence us, who try and persecute us. And these are the two reasons that we do our very best. Deep down, we're all Halig. Deep down, we all want to do the right thing. Yeah? It's just, Nebuch, we have a Yetzirah. Nebuch, we've got the Shibud Malchus, the enslavement of the nations of the world, and these are the two impediments to divine service. Yehiratim ufanacha, Rav Alexandri continues, may it be your will before you, shetatzileinu miyodom, that you save us from their hands, v'noshav nasi sukir etzincho blei roshonim, and we return to do the statutes of your will wholeheartedly. So, Rav Yitzchok Blazer and the Yaris Tavash, they explain that this is really what's going on with this dialogue between Yitzchok and the Rabbeinu Shleilom. Yitzchok is saying as follows, Rabbeinu Shleilom, how can you punish Klal Yisrael? Okay, it's true, they've done an Avera now and again. They've done quite a lot of Averas, in fact. Fine, so they've done Averas. But Rabbeinu Shleilom, whose fault is that? Whose fault is it that they've done so many Averas? So he says, you know what, Rabbeinu Shleilom? It's half my fault, and it's half your fault. Why? Because you created the Yetzer Hara. If you wouldn't have created the Yetzer Hara, nobody would have done any Avera. You created the Yetzer Hara. And you know what? I'm responsible for Esav. Esav is the father of all the anti-Semites, Esav is the one who's trying to stop us from serving the Rabbeinu Shleilam, whether it's a Russian way of stopping us by actively preventing us from doing the mitzvah, whether it's an American way of stopping us by enticing us to the golden Medina and trying to just influence us that really we don't need Torah mitzvahs anymore, and there's so many other things in Einam HaZeh to be involved in. Esav is the antithesis of the Shibud Malchus. Sorry, is the paradigm oppressor of Klal Yisrael. He is the one who is responsible. He is the one who it is attributed to Shibud Malchus. So here, what Yitzchak is saying, Rabbeinu Shlomo, you can't punish Klal Yisrael. It's your fault they have a Yetzara. As the Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Lamed Beis, where it says, where the Gemara quotes Menachem Aleph, where Eliyahu says that Rabbeinu Shlomo, that you're the one who caused Klal Yisrael to all of these Averis. And Hashem, and then the Gemara brings from Micha Perek Dalet, where Hashem says, yes, you're right. Fa'asha harayasi, I was the one who caused them to be wicked. Right? So Rabbeinu Shlomo sort of agrees to this clear over here. So it's Rabbeinu Shlomo's fault, kavyachol, for half of our Averis. And the other half Yitzchak is saying is my fault. So Rabbeinu Shlomo, leave them alone and let you take half the blame and I'll take half the blame, and this way you can be melamed tzchus on Klal Yisrael. So this is the way the Aristavash and Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer explained this Gemara Masechta Shabbos. That we have the Yetzirah from within and we have the Yetzirah from without. We have the search of the Isa in a Yetzirah and we have the external Shubat Malchus, and both of these things are stopping us from serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What does this have to do with our question which we had before? What's going on in this bizarre ritual of Dam Mila and Dam Pesach? Do any of you think maybe the connection over here? So the Chassam Sefer explains as follows. The Chassam Sefer says, what's going on Seder night? Beforehand, we were the Avodim of Pharaoh. Seder night is the time when we change our Odoim. We change our master. Seder night is the night when instead of being Avdei Pharaoh, it's Ano Avdo the Kudsho Baruchu. Seder night is the night, not when people speak about freedom. It doesn't mean freedom to do what we like. We don't have freedom to do what we like. We have tariyat things which we're supposed to do. It's not freedom to do what we like. It's a different sort of freedom. Really, we're changing our odoim from being avdei farai to honor avdei the kudsho brichu to being a slave, a servant of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Tonight on Seder night is the night where Klal Yisrael became the servants of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And if they become the servants to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then they're connected to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They mavatal themselves to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Then they have connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They're tofel, so to speak, secondary to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And they have this incredible closeness to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There's only one trouble, there's only one problem. And that is, Klal Yisrael, how can you say to yourselves, you're going to be the servants of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? You're never going to do any Averis? You're not going to do any Averis? So this, says the Chassam Sefer, is what's going on. They took the Dam of Bris Mila, which corresponds to our inner Yetzirah, the seat of a person's taiva, the sar shabbat isa, the inner yetzahara, and they take the dam of the korban pesach. This was the deity of the Egyptians, the god that they worshipped. This symbolizes the external yetzahara, and they put this together on the doorpost, and they say this is something we don't identify with. We want to be your servants. If we do any averus after you have redeemed us, after you've taken us out of Mitzrayim, we want you to know we would like to get them outside the door. That we can't do. You've created the world in such a way, there's the Yetzirah around, there's the Sar Shabbat Isa, there's the Shibud Malchus. We can't do that. We put it as far away as possible. This is not part of our family. This is something which we put on the doorpost and we do not identify with. This is something which we want to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, our identity is Ana Avda the Kutshob Rishu. Any Averis that we do, this is the Yetzirah, the Sar Shabbat Isa, this is the Shubad Malchus, our inner and external Yetzirah. But this is not us. This is what happens on Seder night. This was the Gilui Shechina we had on Seder night. This was the closeness which we achieved on Seder night. To leave being Avdei Pharaoh to become Ana Avda the Kutshob Rishu. And this, says the Chassam Sefer, is what's going on over here with the Nichsas Pitcha and the Gzeres Mahalta, these two types of blood which they put together and they de-identified with and they put together on their doorposts. As Hashem, we should all have an uplifting Seder and again relive this moment, Ana Avda the Kutshob Rishu.